Parshat Ekev is another parsha which is very hard to select what to talk about because there's so much in it. The second paragraph of Shema, the declaration about the special nature of Eretz Yisrael just before that, Eretz Asher Hinei Adonai Barachaba Reshit Hashana Ve'Arachik Shana, God is always looking at the land. The retelling of the story of the Egel. Some very, very big, broad statements about loving God and fearing God, etc. At the beginning, a mitzvah that we're all familiar with, and that we probably about every third Wednesday, I would guess, engage in here, depending how often you wash, is Birkat HaMazon. And so I want to look at Birkat HaMazon because there's something bizarre about Birkat HaMazon between the pasuk and the practice. In order to highlight it, I selected three popular nuschaot of Birkat HaMazon as you have them here, and they are different, both in their concision versus even in, and I have seen, I didn't put it down here, I've seen abbreviated versions of Birkat HaMazon. There's a rabbi in Lakewood, no? who put out an abbreviated version where his note on it was, I saw this in the Syrian community in New York, his note on it was, it's preferable to say this slowly and with kavanah than to say the whole long thing, blah, 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 like that, kind of rattling off and saying every other word and not thinking about it, which, you know, may be a good point. But they all have something in common. So let's take a look at the pasuk, and then see what we actually do, and we'll see that there seems to be a gap. All right. After describing the land that you're coming to and how beautiful it is, ve'achalta v'savata, you will eat and you will be satisfied. Uverachtat Adonai Elohecha al ha'aretz hatova asher natan lach. You will bless God for the good land that He gave you. That's it. Which sounds like, if you were just to take this pasuk on its own, which is how we almost always will look at psukim halachically, which is out of context and somewhat modularly. It sounds like when you eat and you're satisfied, what do you have to do? Say bracha for what?
For the land.
Which is a little odd because you would think there'd be a bracha for food. Okay. But you're going to find something interesting. Now, one thing structurally. There are two series of prayers that we engage in on a regular basis. There's other series that we have on occasions, but on a regular basis. One of them is called Shmona Esrei, one of them is called Birkat HaMazon. Birkat HaMazon and Shmona Esrei have a commonality to their structure. They both start off with praise. Praise means we tell God how great God is, specific to the thing that we're engaging in, but it's not a measure of thanks. It's not looking at what we have and saying thank you, saying God, you are great in this particular area, or great in general, and then in this particular area. What happens next? So what happens next in davening, after we praise God, which we typically think of as the first three brachot, avod, dror, kedusha, then what do? Ask for stuff. We ask, we have 13 different requests we have, and then we add in all sorts of little specific pieces, refuah, etc., within them, 13 different requests that we have, and then at the end, what do? We say, thank you. The Shim Shalom is a bit odd, thank you, but okay, it's a thank you, and it's kind of a farewell piece. Okay. What do we do in Birkat HaMazon? We also start with praise. Hazan ta'olam kulo v'tavo, you feed the world. What do we do next? Nodelecha, which means do thanks. And then after we do thanks, what do? With Rachem, which is request. So you essentially have the same structure, praise, and then thanks, request, or praise, request, thanks. Why the difference? Because what are you fundamentally doing when you're davening? What's the real thing that's driving you? Is request, you need. What's the fundamental thing that's driving you in Birkat HaMazon? Thanking. So you do not approach God without praise. That's always first. Then you do what you're really there for, which is either thanking after a meal or requesting three times a day, four times a day. And then afterwards, you do the other one. So let's think about it. Why do you do the other one when you daven after you request all this stuff? So why do you say thank you? It's very chutzpahdik. Please, please, please. Okay, I gave it to you. Okay, please, 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 please. A little acknowledgement. For you, you got to be aware that there's some stuff that you have. I always claim that a person can never really be sad if they say modim three times a day and think about what they're saying. You can't be sad. Just think about all the great stuff you have. Why the flip? Why when we say Birkat HaMazon, so we said the praise because you got to start with praise, then we say thanks because that's what we're there for. Why not end there?
We do end with Shabbat, though. We do end with praise.
Where?
Kel Avinu.
Yeah, that's a later bracha added to Rabbanan. I'm looking at the first three brachot, which are Doraita. Why do we add on? Even if you want to say at the end we add, but why add on request?
You might as well.
Why might as well? Why?
Because you're in the process of saying all these great thank yous. You might as well also ask for
good. Something. So I'll give an example. I don't know if this is Nogel Amasa with anybody, but this is Mashal. There's a couple, very much in love, married for years. They both work in the financial world. And they have very little interaction in the workday because they're in kind of different fields. But once in a while, mitamol, she'll pick up the phone and call the stock brokerage, and he'll be the one to answer. And says, okay, can you get me 5,000 shares of this at this price? Now, they're on the phone. They love each other. So yeah, she's calling to make a stock buy, but when she realizes it's her husband, what else does she say? I love you. I can't wait to see you tonight. Have a good day. In other words, the essence of their relationship has to bleed through every contact that you have, even if the contact's driven by something else. So in the same way, the essence of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is need, is request, is dependence. So even though we come to say thank you, we can't help. It's like you said, Ariel. You're there already, so request. The requests are interesting, because what do we ask for in Birkat HaMazon?
The land.
We ask for Yerushalayim and the Beit HaMikdash and the land. Interesting thing. But what I want to look at is the core, which is the thank you. Now, what do we say the thank you should be based on the Pasuk? Thank you for the land. So, please take a look at this line from the Gemara, which I have to be honest with you, I never understood. I understand the words. I never understood where it was coming from. And this is Halacha L'Maaseh. The Rambam passes this way in Perek Bet of Hilchot Brachot. We'll see it here in the Nuschot. Tanya Relezer Omer Kol Shalomar Eretz Chemda Tova Ruchaba. No, he didn't say it with colors. He said Eretz Chemda Tova Ruchaba, a desired, good, and broad land. Eretz Chemda Tova Ruchaba, which we all know from Berkat HaMazon. Anybody who doesn't say that, the Berkat HaAretz in that second bracha, Umachut Beit David Bonei Yerushalayim, the request for the restoration of David's kingdom. Lo yatza yidei chovato. You haven't fulfilled your obligation. Which means you have to say, Eretz Chemda Tova Ruchaba. Why? Ma pitom. Just thank God for the land. Why do you have to describe the land as Eretz, which, by the way, is a pasuk that exists nowhere? There is no such pasuk. Eretz Chemda Tova Ruchaba. And yet, you have to say that in Berkat HaMazon. Why? And then, we have another piece. Nachum HaZaken Omer, Tzarich Sheyizkor Babrit. You ever notice that? You're saying Berkat HaMazon. You're thanking God for the food. And what's the first thing you say? Nodelecha. You have it in front of you. You have the three popular nuschot. You have a bunch of nuschot. Al shinchaltanu eretz inchalta lavotenu eretz chemda tova ruchava. And then what? V'al britcha shechatam tabiv sarenu v'al torat chash t'imanutanu. And here you have the Gemara that says it. And the Rambam Paskins, and again, the same halacha. In Perek Bet, I think it's halacha gimel. That you have to mention brit and Torah. And why brit comes before Torah? So the Gemara says, what?
Which
brit? It's a brit shechatam tabisareinu, which means brit milah. It's mentioned brit and Torah in Birkat HaMazon. Why? I mean, you could say, you should say it any time. But we don't say it any time. Why specifically here? So the reality is that if you only look at our pasuk, and then you see how Birkat HaMazon has blossomed beyond all of the external, the harachamans and everything else, but even just within the finite nusach, it's way bigger than it seems like it should be. And I have nusach Sfard, in the middle I have nusach Teman, on the left one, which is more familiar to most people around here, nusach Ashkenaz. But notice, they all have the same thing. Eretz Chemda Tova Ruchava, Brit, Torah. And by the way, they also all mention Yitziat Mitzrayim. The Gemara doesn't even say that. They also mentioned something else, which is not just the land, but that you granted the land. Shinchalta labotenu. Now, if that was only in one nusach, I would say, fine, so that particular tradition developed an orientation like that. But all nuschot have these things. That's why I put it, hinchalta, hinchalta. They're all hinchalta. Right? That's why I picked the different colors so you could see them in all of them. They're all Eretz Chemda, Tova Urchava, Brit, Torah, and Yetziat Mitzrayim. Where did all this stuff come from? So the reality is that when we look at a particular midrash of Chazal, so Chazal of a pasuk, and we look at that alone, sometimes we're mystified, and some among us actually become somewhat, shall we say, rebellious about it, and say, ah, how did Chazal get that from that? Ah, and then we use that one of the worst possible phrases anybody could ever use. Ah, it's just a midrash, right? But we have to remember, Chazal knew Tanakh. And Chazal knew more than the Pasuk V'achalta V'savata. And the end of V'achalta V'savata is part of a larger context. So you flip the page, look at the larger context, and you'll see it's not so simple. First thing is that, and what I've presented to you here is one parashat Misorah, meaning in you open up the Torah, we don't have chapters and verses, but we have parashot, paragraphs. What you have in front of you is a paragraph. Alright? And it starts in what for our laning is towards the end of the first aliyah, and it continues actually into the second aliyah. Alright, and that's what we have here. Let's take a look at the paragraph. This is now a new piece embedded within a paragraph of two paragraphs about Akev, about the causality. Vaya Akev Tishmun and the end Vaya Akev Lo Tishmun. So within that we have this. Kol mitzvah, Asher Anochi Mitzvcha Yom Tishmurun La'asot. All the mitzvot that I give you, you have to guard to do. L'man Tichun Uvritem, so that you'll be alive, you'll live, and you'll become more populated, populous. Uvatem V'Rishtem Et Ha'aretz, and you will be able to come and conquer the land. Asher Nishpa Adonai L'Avotechem, that God promised to your ancestors. V'Zachartat Kol HaDerech, and now, what else are you supposed to do? You're going to come to the land that you that God promised He would give you, and you're going to conquer it, and then you're going to remember the whole path that you've taken, ze arba'im shana b'midbar, the whole 40 years. L'man anotcha l'nasotecha, God afflicted you in order to test you. Do you have it within you to keep His mitzvot? Which, of course, is the man. When we talked about this numerous times, when God tells Moshe He's going to make the man come down, it's a test to see if they'll follow the Torah. Now, notice this whole introduction. You're going to follow the Torah so that you'll be successful. You'll conquer the land, and don't forget this whole path that God put you through, this testing grounds, where He afflicted you and He kept you hungry, and then He fed you the man, that your ancestors never seen. Know that it's not only by the food, it's whatever God decrees. In other words, it's up to God to feed you. So don't forget that. For these 40 years, your clothes haven't worn off you, your legs haven't, you're walking in the desert, your legs haven't puffed up and gotten all, you know, what would you call them? What happens when people walk on a satellite? Swollen, exactly, yeah. So what should you know? Just like a man afflicts his son, God's afflicting you. God's not afflicting you and putting you through the desert in order to hurt you, He's doing it to train you. And to discipline you and to raise you properly. Why? So you keep the mitzvot and you fear God. Why? God's bringing you to a good land. Notice, not chemda tova rechava, tova. Eretz nachalei ma'im. Ayanotu tomot yotzim babikau bahar. Okay? Hold on one second, let's just see this series. A land filled with flowing springs and waters that come through the mountains, unlike the Nile that you're familiar with. Eretz chita usora v'gefen u'teinav rimon. Eretz etshemen u'dvash, you're familiar with that, the seven species. Eretz ha'shalom mizkenu tochab alechem atosar kol ba. To all the praise for the land, and the land has buried minerals that are great, etc. Now we're seeing the pasuk in context. And what's the context of the pasuk? It's talking about the great food of the land, the great blessing of the land, but that in order to successfully conquer the land and inhabit it, you have to not forget the whole process of Yetziat Mitzrayim and not forget who it is who actually takes care of you. So suddenly, we're getting a whole different background here. That the mitzvah of Birkat HaMazon is not just about coming to the land, eating, and blessing God for it, but remembering a whole panoply of things. Okay? And then, Hishar Melacha, Pentishkachat Adonai Elohecha. What do you have to be careful about when things are plenty? It's easy when things are plenty, Vaishman Yeshua and Vayiva, to forget God. You think it's me. You might eat and be satisfied with the opposite of benching. You build lots of good houses. Everything is going to become plentiful. The opposite of benching is your heart becomes arrogant. You're going to forget God. God who did what? Took you out of Mitzrayim. Aha. So in other words, Birkat HaMazon is an antidote to the possibility that with all this wealth, you're going to forget God who took you out of Mitzrayim and took care of you in the desert. Mm-hmm. Okay. But just finish the piece. He walked you through this desert with snakes and scorpions. And thirst, he had water come out from the flint rock. Again, back to the man. Again, he afflicted you to make it good for you in the end, so you'd be trained. And what you might you say? I did this. You have to remember God. Why? He's the one who gives you the power to do all this. Why? Leman hakim et brito. What's the entire piece about? In order to fulfill his brit. What's his brit? The brit is to give you the land, make you populous, and make you a bracha for the rest of the world. The brit he gave to Avram. Right? So now, getting the larger context of where Birkat HaMazon is nestled in the middle, you see a much bigger picture. Birkat HaMazon is not just about, I ate, thank you. I ate, and I've eaten from a land that's part of a historic process, which ideally this is the end point of, but it will only be the end point of if I make sure to remember everything that brought me here and who brought me here. And that is all in order to fulfill the brit. Now, what was the ultimate goal of the bringing? You have to remember that when Hashem first approached Moshe Rabbeinu, he had a grand plan. And if you remember, in that stand at the snat, every time Moshe said no, the plan got smaller. And smaller and smaller and smaller, until finally it was, okay, you take Aaron with you, and right? But the first, what was the first plan? What was the first thing God said? Take a look at Sort 6. I've heard their pain. I'm going to come down to take them out of that land and bring them up to that land. El Eretz Tova Urchava. That's the only place Eretz Yisrael is called Tova Urchava. It's a good and broad land. That's the ideal picture of Yetziat Mitzrayim. There's only one thing left. Chemda. What does Chemda mean? It's actually we had in last week Parsha. Lotachmon. Desire. Tovar Chava are objective descriptions. It's a land that produces well. It's a land that's broad, that's wide. Chemda is not objective. Chemda is about desire. Where does Eretz Yisrael ever get called Eretz Chemda? It gets called Eretz Chemda in two opposite places. In Yirmiyahu Gimel, God says, I'm going to bring you back V'atein lecha Eretz Chemda. Why will it have to be an Eretz Chemda when I bring you back? Because what are we accused of in Tehillim? Vayim asu be'Eretz Chemda. In other words, I can give you a beautiful land. It can be a perfect land. It can have everything to it. But if you don't desire it, you don't get it. Bnei Israel heard that there were giants there, they cried, and they rejected the beautiful land. So when Yirmiyahu talks about giving you a desired land, it's because you're going to have to now have desire to come back. Put the two together, and what is Eretz Yisrael? It's an Eretz Chemda, a desired land, Tovar Uchava. Which, by the way, takes us to the ideal of the original entry to Eretz Yisrael and the ideal of the return to Eretz Yisrael. The original entry is because it's a great land that God's giving us. The return is because we desire it. So now, what's Birkat HaMazon about? It's about not forgetting who took care of you. And when you eat all of this good stuff, remember where all the power comes from, where all your energy comes from, where all your ability comes from. That I'm bringing you to a land that I'm granting to you. And in order to be successful in land, what do you have to do? You have to keep the Torah. And you have to keep the Torah in order that the ultimate goal of bringing you to this land, which is fulfillment of the Brit. So what do Chazal say? You have to say Eretz Chemda Tovar Uchava. You have to say Brit, you have to say Torah. And why do you have to mention Yetziat Mitzrayim? Because Yetziat Mitzrayim was the proving ground, that the background for all of that. Which then explains a very strange custom, at least Bnei Ashkenaz have. Think about it, it makes no sense. What do we say before Birkat HaMazon on Shabbos?
Shalom.
Shalom Aleichem, which is about what? Nothing about food. It's about returning. Returning to Eretz Israel. Many people have a minig, most people have the minig of ignoring it, but they have the minig of having it there to ignore, of saying what during weekdays, Al Narot Pavel. Can't we often sing it on weekdays? Al Narot takes forever. But Al Narot Pavel, why? Al Narot Pavel and Sharmalot are two opposite sides of loving the land. Loving the land so much that we refuse to be happy in Chutz La'aretz, and loving the land so much that we're like dreaming when we come back.
We used to sing it during the 3 weeks.
Right, remember that? On the high road.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
We sang it only during 3 weeks.
How do you sing Eichna Shir this year?
Oh, there's a tune to the whole thing. It takes a long time. It takes three weeks, actually, to sing it.
You get the joke?
What? How do you sing Eichna Shir? Very good. Square. You know the Midrash on that. That Nebuchadnezzar said to the Levim, "We want you to play." So the Levim turned around and they bit their thumbs off. And they turned around and said, "Eichna Shir? Like, how can we play? Give them the thumbs." But Pshat is like you said, how could we possibly sing? Right.
Or you can sing the
right. So Birkat HaMazon is much more than just thanking God for food. It's a focal point of our experience, interaction with God, in which we remember where every blessing that we have comes from. And what it's really ultimately supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about coming to the land that God has given us, being successful in that land because we remember God, and we end up fulfilling the Brit, and remembering that all of the experience of Yetziat Mitzrayim were there to remind us of that lesson of who we're supposed to be. And we see it within the core piece of Birkat HaMazon, where we start out not saying, Dodelech HaShem Elokeinu al ha'ochal. What is it? Rabba dub dub? Right? Thanks for the grub. Al shin chaltal avoteinu. You granted our ancestors this land, or the Rav Sadia Gaon's nusach shin chaltanu. You granted us this land. V'al shot seitanu. You took us out of Eretz Yisrael. V'al britcha shechatam tavitzorin. You gave us a brit that you put into us. It's supposed to remind us of who we're ultimately supposed to be. V'al torat chash dimaratanu, which is the way we fulfill the brit. V'al eretz chemda tovar uchava, which is the place that we're going to come to, that we desire and that is so beautiful, which is the ultimate goal of the whole historic experience that we're part of. Which may answer another bizarre comment in the Gemara on Brachot. The Mishnah Brachot, very famous Mishnah, says that women are exempt from Kriyat Shema and Tefillin, and they're chayav in Tefillah and Mezuzah and Birkat HaMazon. So the Gemara says,
Chris,
the Birkat HaMazon, why would we think they're not chayav in Birkat HaMazon? So the Gemara raises an interesting possibility, because since we eat at set times, it might be like a mitzvah taseh shazman grama. It's a very bizarre comment, because we have set times for meals. It might be like zman grama. The Gemara rejects that, of course. That's what you might have thought. But you could sort of see why. Because really, Birkat HaMazon isn't just, I ate so I'm going to bench. It's like a regular, daily, maybe twice daily, interaction, exactly like Mrs. Enfeld, interaction reminding us of what our mission's really all about. And the words that we put into it are an expression and a reminder of really what our entire life's mission is really all about.
And when did you come up with all this?
Last 2 days.
So what happened?